Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, my wife forgot one announcement, but we do close on that building in Cory this week. Praise the Lord. So we are planning a moving day. We've been given a whole church full of chairs, glory to God, which will save us about $3,000 to $4,000 roughly. And so we've been given those chairs, but we have to go pick them up. And there's about 200 of them, I've been told. So many hands make light work. Saturday morning, we're planning on getting a U-Haul and going up to Fredonia to pick them up, and then to take them from Fredonia to Cory and drop them off. Amen. And if there's anybody who would like to come out and help, I'll send out a slick text later this week with the time that we'll meet here on Saturday morning. But we'll meet here. We should be able to do it like carpool and stuff like that, depending on how many people come. So if you have a strong back, if you have a fairly strong back, or heck, if you have a bad back and you just, hey, I want to lift some chairs, praise the Lord, come on out, and we'll go move some chairs from Fredonia to Cory. Shouldn't take all afternoon or anything, just I think some time in the morning and later morning, you know, because we don't like to do anything too early on Saturday morning, praise God. So, well, praise the Lord. So if you can come out, we appreciate it if you would. But if you can't, well, we appreciate you anyways. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, today's message is called Taking Back Ground. Amen? Today we're talking about taking back ground. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, taking back ground, sometimes in the course of a battle, sometimes things will get lost. You know, sometimes some ground will get lost, and it's important to try to retrieve those things which are lost. You know, the Lord doesn't ever like to lose ground. This is one thing I've learned about God, is that whenever the devil has stolen something from his people, God always intends on getting it back for him. Amen? But you know, it always comes as men, women of God, as they operate according to the principles of God. That's the only way you can do it. Now, if you've lost ground in your battle, praise the Lord. You know, in life there are many battles. I don't want to call life a battle, because life is supposed to be joyous. Life is supposed to be peaceful. Life is supposed to be full of the presence of God. Amen? But we know that in life there are battles. And if you sometimes, in speaking of that, sometimes people allow those battles to become their lives. In other words, they allow those battles to define their lives. And God doesn't want us to do that either. We have battles in life. Jesus said we're going to have tribulation. That's okay. We have tribulation. We also have victory. The victory is what we focus on, not on the battle. If you're constantly focusing on the battle, then that's where you're going to live. You're going to live in that mindset. But we want what God has for us. Amen. And we talked about this. And if you get a chance this week, and you can get online and hear the Corey's message last night. It was a good message about keeping what. Keeping what is yours, praise the Lord. And so keeping the fruits of the Spirit, one of which is joy, one of which is peace. And these things are all important to us. Amen. But today we're going to be preaching about taking back the ground once it's lost, because sometimes ground will be lost in the course of the battle. Why? Because God's not weak? No, because we're weak in the flesh. Sometimes we're going to make mistakes. And this is not a message for you to get all like feeling bad about yourself and like all self-condemning and stuff like that. Listen, if you screwed up, if you missed it, God is good. That's all right. You can miss it. You can make mistakes once in a while. And if you make a mistake, God will bring you back if you allow him to do it. But see, if you stay wrapped up in the thought, oh, I missed it, you'll never gain ground back. Amen? But we got to find out to understand the battle. We got to understand some things about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you're going to win, you have to understand two things. If you're going to win in life, you have to understand at least two things. You have to understand that there's a fight. Praise the Lord. And you have to understand what that fight is, and you have to understand that you have an enemy, and you have to understand who that enemy is. If you don't understand that you have an enemy, you know, I've heard this quote before, I've even mentioned it from the pulpit, but the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist, and that's so true. So many people are focused on God when things go bad and not in a good way. They're focused on why God did you do it. They forget they have an enemy. See, the greatest trick the devil pulled was convincing the world that God was the one who's doing all the bad stuff. And when they went, and like even in Christians, even people in this church, even people who have been well taught, the devil still comes to give you those thoughts that, man, it was God. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God? God didn't allow it to happen. The devil made it happen, amen? And he made it happen because humans allowed it to happen. God doesn't allow anything to happen except for what's written in his word. Amen. And now he's given the rule and the reign to us, but and we decide whether or not we're going to live a good life or a bad life. You know, we decide whether or not we're going to be winners or we're going to be losers. Praise the Lord. We decide whether we're going to rise above or if we're going to sink below. We always do. Praise God. Now, people don't always like that, but it's the truth. You can't change the truth. And the fact that you can't change the truth means that if you don't get on board with the truth, then you are going to either sink in your deception or you're going to rise in your knowledge and your wisdom. Praise the Lord. And don't we want to rise up? Is there anybody here that doesn't want to go on? You know, as we were down in Florida this week, we went to Reverend Randall Greer meetings, and we're very excited for him. We love the connection there. It's very, very important to this ministry. It's very important to our lives. But, you know, when we were down there this week, I got a lot of direction for this year, for this church, and I'm really excited about it. I'm not going to get into it today yet because I want to spend a little more time marinating in it before I share it. Amen. You know, how many know you can do that? You can marinate something for like a few hours and it's okay. But if you let it marinate overnight or for a couple days, it's going to get real saturated. Amen. And that's exactly what I want to do. You know, and when God speaks to you, sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you need to, before you run out and tell everybody, you need to just sit in it for a little bit and stew. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the deception of the enemy and how he deceives us and deceives us out of the right thinking and into the wrong thinking. I got to thinking about a story I heard about World War II. You know, back in World War II, we had some over there in Europe, you know, there was a lot of bad things going on. And, the British, England was under great attack. Amen. They were very scared about everything because they had the Germans who were pushing in on them. Praise the Lord. Not that he was doing that, but praise God because he's good. Amen. Yeah. But so the Germans are pressing in on them and they're flying over. And I remember this one account of these British. I don't know how they came up with it, but they put up a bunch of decoy tanks. They were just like I think they were made out of cardboard. They were tanks and airplanes. They just put them out in this field, tons of them. Amen. And when the Germans flew over, they saw all these, although they were so far up that what they looked like was just tanks and planes. And so they decided to call off that attack. And that saved that battle because of that. But when the Germans flew over, they didn't recognize what their enemy truly was. And see, that's a lot of times what happens with the devil. He puts up this big front. He puffs up the smoke, and we see that. And what happens is we get distracted on the decoy that we don't see what's really going on behind doors. We don't understand where the battle really is. See, we're focusing our energy here because we see this, which is exactly what the devil does, to get your eyes off the Word of God, to get your eyes away from the truth of God. And as he does so, he's effective because people listen to him. He's not effective because he can just be effective, but he's effective because we allow it. Because we didn't hide his heart or his word in our hearts. We didn't allow the truth of God to trump what the devil was trying to show us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now turn with me to Romans 12:2. We're going to start there. Glory to God. Romans 12:2. You guys are going to be very familiar with this. You're going to say, Pastor Jeff, why are you bringing this scripture up again? But that's right. Faith comes by hearing. And so you're going to hear it again. Yeah. But it's pertinent. You know, this is what I love is that that the word doesn't just work once. It doesn't just work for one thing. It works for many things. Yeah. Amen? The word teaches us. The word shows us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Every issue that a Christian faces, every issue in life, every single issue, without exception, comes back to this scripture right here. Every trial you will ever face that you want to win, the victory is found in this scripture right here. This is why we use the scripture so often. Because it doesn't matter if it's financial troubles. It doesn't matter if it's a drug or alcohol problem. It doesn't matter if it's a bad relationships. It doesn't matter if it's a following God problem. It doesn't matter if it's a reading the word problem. Every issue comes back to this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? We know that renewing of your mind comes as we get in the word, as we renew it with the word. Amen? You know, Brother Hagin said this, that your mind doesn't stay renewed any more than your hair stays combed. Amen? You can have, and this is the truth. You can come to church, you can hear the word, and the word can change you, and you can think, wow, that's great, praise the Lord, I'm going to start doing that. But then you can stop going, you can stop hearing the word, and you walk away from it, and what happens? You start forgetting. Your hair starts coming uncombed. You wake up in the morning, you had sleep, you know, a little bit of sleep, you slept on your pillow wrong, you know. Your hair, when you wake up in the morning, your hair isn't always in the same direction you went to bed, is it? It isn't always in the same direction it woke up with the morning before, amen? Sometimes I wake up and I got some spikage going on here, praise the Lord. Sometimes I just got like a flare out. Looks like somebody hit me on top of my head and my hair just went out. You know what I mean? So sometimes your hair is going to do all kinds of things. And that's the same thing with our minds. Our minds, as we live in this world, our minds are going to go all kinds of places. There's lots to think about, isn't there? There's lots to consume your thinking. There's a lot that you can get off into, isn't there? Isn't there a lot of things that distract you, just even from anything? I don't even mean from the Word of God. I just mean from anything. How many know you'd be out there, you could be doing something, and all of a sudden something flies by the window, and you're off on that now, amen? Praise the Lord. That's just the way it is, because our mind, now see, this can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. The devil exploits the fact that this is how we are, because he knows it better than we do. Praise the Lord. We need to be transformed. It means we need to be changed. The renewing of our mind will change us. It will change our thinking. It will change our attitudes. It will change our ideals. And as it changes those things in us, then everything around us changes. When we look at the world through the way through the Lord's eyes, and we understand it through the way creation, through the way He created it to be, then it makes more sense to us, and it's easier to operate in. It's easier to do the things that we have to do, because then we understand what's going on. When you know what your enemy's going to do, how many would like to know what their enemy's going to do before they're going to do it? Amen. If you had some enemies coming up to your house, and they were coming up with guns and everything, ammunition, they were going to shoot you up. Wouldn't you want to know that ahead of time? How many would like to know that 5 seconds before it happened? Praise the Lord. How many would like to know that 30 seconds before it happened? How would you like to know that a month before it happens? Praise the Lord. Hey, if you knew that the hurricane was coming to destroy your house, amen? Praise the Lord. What would you do? You get out of there, amen? Praise the Lord. Because, that's the thing. Nobody gets caught up in life because of what they know. It's because of what they don't know, right? And that's the same thing with the ways of God, the kingdom of God, is that what trips up people is what they don't know. And what they don't know often is their enemy. Amen? So you have to renew your mind, because as you renew your mind to the Word of God, it transforms us. See, the Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind is not the way we always thought. If you hang on to the way you always thought and you're a Christian, you will lose what God has for you. You cannot keep the same stinking thinking you always had and expect to change it in your life and to go on and to do good things. Your life won't change. Amen. Most people come to church at some point because they want their life to change. But you can't think the way you always did and do the things you always did and then expect the Word of God to just work magically, because that's not the way it works. God's Word is not pixie dust. Amen. It's not some magic potion. What it is direction. It is the completion of who we are. It tells us what we are to do. And the amount that we give ourselves to it, the understanding of it, is the amount we will receive from it. We will receive from God based on what we do, how we receive in His Word. Amen? How we receive the direction that He's given us. Praise the Lord. If you want transformation in a certain area, then that's the area that must be renewed. So what do I mean by this? If you need transformation because you have an addiction, praise the Lord, what do? You get in and you see what the Scriptures say about addiction. And then you start dealing with, you get those Scriptures built up on the inside of you. If you are dealing with anger issues, then you get into what the Word says about anger, and you allow that to start changing you. Praise the Lord. If you're dealing with jealousy issues, then you get in there and see what the Word says about that. See, if you're dealing with health issues, you get in there and see what the Word says about that. And you build these things in you. Now, building these things in you, hallelujah. If you were going to build a house, if you hired some contractor to come build your house, and they had all the lumber delivered, and they just threw one stick up in a day, and you came back and you say, hey, wait, a month later, and they haven't done anything, you'd be like, well, what's going on here? Amen. You don't have a house built by one just throwing one stick up. Well, somehow people think they get in the Word, they read it once, or they go to church once a week, and they think, well, everything's going to change now. No, it doesn't change, because you have to continue building. Amen. This is not, you know, and this is where the church has failed, right here, is that it's allowed people to think that church is something you do on Sundays, and that's the rest of your week you go out and do whatever else you want. You know, there's a lot of churches that do that. There's a lot of denominations that do that just so they get the money coming in. They don't really care about changing people's lives. See, what we care about is changing people's lives, and that's why we teach people the truth, that you can't just come here, hear it, go out there and live differently and expect it to work, because it ain't going to work that way. It doesn't work that way. Sooner or later, your train's going to wreck, amen? Because that's the way that the devil works, because we have an enemy, amen? And we're going to see more about this today. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Your mind does not stay renewed any more than your hair stays combed. If you could remember that, then that will bring you, draw you back to the Word of God. Amen. And there is something magical about this Word, that when you just get into it, man, stuff changes. If you're just having a bad day, you just open the Word. I don't care. Just before service here, I was seeking a little direction on some things, and I actually just flopped open my Bible. It flopped right open to something, and I saw something I highlighted there, and I starred, and I was like, oh, glory to God, that helps me. Amen. No, it spoke to me, that one word. I just opened it up. I didn't flip pages, just opened it right up. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're excited about that. But I am, because it helps me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says, and I think it's in Proverbs, it says, how does a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. Now, that doesn't just work for a young man, but how do you keep your way pure? By taking heed according to the Word of God, listening to what the Bible says, doing what it says, putting it to practice. Why do we have Christians out there that don't act like very, very good Christians? Because they don't put to practice the Word. Listen, a lot of people like the title. You'll learn this. I've learned this in ministry. A lot of people like the title, but they don't want to do the work involved to get there. Yeah. Why everybody, I was telling Josh and Rachel before my wife got this message, you know, sometimes Pastor Nancy Dufresne said that she's like, she said, what a pastor is a bus driver. She said, you drive the bus, people get on, people get off, you just keep driving the bus. Amen. That's what our job is. We just keep driving the bus. Some people get on, some people stay on. But I'm going to take that a little bit further. Sometimes being a spiritual bus driver is like this. Some people get on, then some of those people are throwing things at you while you're driving. Some of those people are coming up there and saying, hey, I could drive better. Why don't you give me the wheel? Some of those people are hanging out the window. Some of those people are trying to jump out the door. Some of those people are sitting there being quiet. But you understand, this is what pastoring is like. Hallelujah. That you can have all kinds of things going on. You say, hey, listen, I told you the word. I showed you the word, but you didn't listen to me. And because you didn't listen to me, you went and you had a train wreck. And now you come back and you say, hey, I want this fixed. But see, the problem is now you're in a heap of mess. Praise the Lord. See, that's the way it is sometimes. Now, it's not, it's a joyful thing because we love to see people helped. But I'm going to tell you right now, I love to see people helped. I don't like to see people hard not listening. Amen. Yeah, I don't like that. You know, why do we do this? Because we know that out of the amount of people that we deal with, there will be this much that we will actually help. Do you realize how different this church looked? We're working on our fourth year. 4 years ago, do you know how much different this church looked? Maybe half of those people that were here 4 years ago aren't here today. Praise the Lord. Something's changed. Amen. See, so things will change over time. We just keep doing what we're doing. Amen. And I'll say this again. I said it last week. It bears repeating. I said it in Corey too. But we don't do this for us. I was in a good church. I had a great pastor. I still have him. He's still a good guy. Still a good pastor. Praise the Lord. But I was perfectly happy and content serving him. I served him with all my heart. And when I mean serve, I mean serve. Yeah, some people made fun of me because of the way I served. But a lot of what I have is because of the way I served. But yeah, I served my pastor. I did anything and everything I can, and I still do for him. Praise the Lord. When we were just down in Florida with them, and praise God, anything that we could do for them, we would do it. And that's what. But I was happy there. It did me good, amen. I didn't. You know, it built our lives up. It strengthened us. It moved us through all the trials in our life. We didn't have to come here. We came here for the people that are called here, amen? And this is the same thing with Corey. We don't have to be in Corey because we need to be there, praise the Lord. We go there for them, amen? Oh, praise the Lord. See, there's good things that happen when people come together. God is doing things, but we have to know that there's an enemy that's going to oppose all this. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now we're going to turn to Ephesians, and we're going to go to Ephesians 6, amen? Ephesians 6, and we're going to start at verse 10. See, I just flipped over. There it was. Hallelujah. Ephesians 10. Not that that means anything at all. It just happened to be, just worked for me that time. Ephesians 10. Ephesians is an awesome book because Ephesians tells us all about who we are. If you want to know about who we are as Christians, what you have as a Christian, read Ephesians. It's 6 chapters long. It's not that long. Praise the Lord. But it is such an awesome, like it will tell you all those things that we are or what you have access to. Praise the Lord. Ephesians is a very powerful book. But Ephesians tells us about who we are. Right here in Ephesians 6:10, this is going to answer a lot of questions if you'll listen. Yeah. I said this will answer a lot of questions if you'll listen, praise the Lord. We're going to read through verse 17. Finally, brethren, finally, after all this stuff I said, and that's Ephesians 1 through chapters 1 through 6, after all this stuff I said, I'm going to sum it up with this. You have all these things. These are all the things that you have being a Christian. Now listen to this. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It is not saying be strong in yourselves, do what you can do. It says be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Praise the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember, you know, that word wiles? You remember Wile E. Coyote? Does anyone remember Wile E. Coyote? What was he always doing? He was always plotting and scheming. He was always trying to get that roadrunner, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Some of you looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Praise the Lord. Like some of you younger folk, you have no idea what we're talking about, do you? Wile E. Coyote, the wiles of the devil. The devil's coming for you. He's coming. He's got plans. You know, we read Jeremiah 29:11 and a half says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the devil. Whoa. Yeah, hallelujah. That's exactly the truth. The devil's coming after you. He's trying to come for you. Praise the Lord. Some people get scared of you. Say, "I'm just telling you the truth. Do you want me to lie to you?" Oh, don't worry about that, devil. You ain't playing at nothing. No, the devil's coming for you. Yeah. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You don't have to worry about it. I defeated the devil for you, praise the Lord. But you got to understand something. There's some wiles that the devil's going to use against you. He's coming at you with some plans. Now, wiles kind of indicates like a cunningness, if you will. You know, it's kind of like he isn't just going to come up in the face with a pitchfork and a big pointy tail and, you know, he's all red and coming up to you, "Hey, I'm the devil, I'm here to do something, to deceive you." Because wouldn't everybody be like, "All right, that's stupid"? Yeah, that's not the way the devil works. How does the devil work? He's sneaky. He's sly. He's like a serpent. He slithers into the garden and tells you to eat that fruit. Glory to God. And that's exactly what people do. You know what? In fact, you know what people do? Because they don't renew their mind in the Word, they gobble the fruit up like it's candy. Woo! They're sitting there, this is good fruit, this is good. Wait a minute, it's making me sick. God said, don't touch it. He said, don't touch that fruit. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor Jeff?" I'm talking about whatever. Whatever the thing is. Whatever's tripping you up. Whatever you can't seem to get over. That's the bad fruit the devil keeps saying to eat. Amen? Praise the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does armor do? It protects you. It keeps you from the sword, and it keeps you from the arrow. Protects your body in case something's coming at you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Armor is a good thing. Put on the whole armor of God. That means God's got some armor for us. Praise the Lord. He said put it on. So if he said to put it on, we must be able to put it on. Now this next scripture is incredibly important. This is going to answer a lot of things for you that you didn't even know. You didn't even know you were going to get some of the answers you were getting today, but you're going to get a lot of answers right now. Amen. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Stop. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your problem is not flesh and blood. You get mad at somebody, your problem ain't their flesh and blood. You think it is, but it ain't their flesh and blood. What's the problem? Praise the Lord. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are wrestling with a spiritual world. What we wrestle with is not the flesh and blood. When somebody is snarky towards you, it is because they listen to something else other than the Word of God. See, you got voices in your head all the time. People get mad when they say you got to conform to the Word. But here's the truth. You're going to either conform to the Word or you're going to conform to something else. You're conforming to something. But if it ain't the Word, it ain't of God. I'm going to tell you that right now. You may think it's good. That's why there's a lot of people running around stupid right now. A lot of people in this country run around stupid with this idea, that idea. It makes no sense whatsoever. You see people doing things that are so lame, you're like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't know how many times I've opened the news in the past year and said, are you kidding me? But that's kind of what we live in. Why? Because people ain't conforming themselves to truth. They're conforming themselves to what this Yahoo said over here, or what this Goomba said over here. They're not paying attention to every... I can say that now, praise the Lord. I just found out. You don't even know what I just found out this week, praise the Lord. My wife wants to share it. See, I always picked on my wife about being Italian. Now, see, I can pick on her about being Italian because my wife is Italian, and I can get away with it, amen? Because that's just the way I was raised. But I found out something this week. We took a DNA test. Glory to God. I'm more Italian than she is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, let me put a little thing in there, though. It said Italian or Greek. I'm going with Greek. Hallelujah. No, just praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's funny, though, ain't it? Hallelujah. So Goomba just entered my dictionary. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I knew that would come out this week. I said it wouldn't, but I knew it would. Amen. Where were we? See, we just got to, well, praise the Lord. I don't really have anything against Italians. I like them all. Praise the Lord. I love everybody. Amen. I do. Praise the Lord. I just didn't want to be one. That's a joke. That's a joke. I can say that now, though, and get away with it, right? Because when you are something, then you can make fun of that, right? Isn't that the way it goes? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't really care. It doesn't matter. Because whatever I've been it for 42 years, and it's worked for me that, almost 41 years, almost 42 years. And praise God. Well, I will have been it 42 years in the future. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where were we? Yeah, it doesn't, you know, we got all these things that are attacking us. So this is what we don't realize. We are in a spiritual battle. When you don't feel like it, when you have those things that, you know, you're typically a good person, right? Is there anyone in here who's a bad person? No hands went up? Nobody in here is a real bad person? Is there anybody in here who's horrible? Is anyone in here the next Hitler? See, nobody thinks of themselves that way, right? Everybody thinks of themselves as typically a bad person. But you ever have bad thoughts? Do you ever have a thought that, man, you're just glad that nobody else can see what you're thinking? You ever have thought, I'm going to tell you as a pastor right now, there's thoughts that if I could tell you all my thoughts, you probably wouldn't necessarily sit here every week. You might be scared to sit here sometimes when you, yeah, because we all have thoughts, don't we? Praise the Lord. Sometimes you get mad and you have thoughts. Don't look at me all pious because you know you do too. We all have thoughts. You know when somebody rubs your cap backwards, hallelujah. You know that when somebody's mowing your field sideways that you're just like, oh, you're not thinking like a Christian, are you? You're not thinking you want to be happy, right? You're not thinking you want to be in joy, right? You're not thinking you want to do what's right, amen? Is there anybody who woke up in the morning and said, hey, I don't want to do what's right today. I just want to be nasty today. I just want to be bad today. I don't want to do the right thing today. I just want to do what I want to do. You know what? I'm sick of being good, hallelujah. Anybody ever felt like that, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes I wake up like that, but what do? We put on a different face. We renew our minds in the Word. Why? Because we know that there's an end to that ain't going to be very happy. See, you can be nasty to everybody, but, you know, the Bible says that if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. So that means if you want friends, you got to be friendly. I mean, a lot of people could really be helped by this. If you want friends, be friendly. That means when you want something, you do what you want, you know, to get it. Amen. You got to pave the way to make it happen. Like, you can't just walk around being all, I'm this and that, and not expect that everybody's going to fall in line with that. Because listen, life ain't Burger King, folks. You can't have it your way. You can't. You can think you can have it your way, but you're going to have it your way for a little while, and then pretty soon that something's going to come stopping you real quick and showing you that you ain't going to have it your way anymore. See, that's why it's good to get in line with the Word of God, because as we get in line with the Word of God, then things do happen our way. Praise the Lord. But it's not bad stuff. See, there's principalities, there's powers, there's rulers of darkness of this age, there's spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I'm not going to go into a great detail. I don't even know. I can't explain fully what all of these are. I'm just going to be honest with you. At this moment, I mean, you can come up to me afterwards and say, hey, what is this specifically? And I don't know. But I know it all has to do with the spiritual realm, that there's a spiritual realm that we contend with. If, yeah, there's different levels and stuff. But if there's things that are coming against you, this is what you have to understand. There's people that are coming against you. It's because they are operating according to this. How do we know? Because the Bible says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Yeah. See, I remember this when I was dealing with addiction, that it wasn't, it seemed like it was flesh and blood because that was what my flesh wanted. Yeah. But see, sometimes the thing, the call to it is something totally different. That call is spiritual. And that's why we have to give people a little bit of leeway. Now, I'm going to say this. We do give people leeway. But there is a truth to when people just won't do what's right because it's ultimately your choice. There's a truth that when you just won't do what's right, eventually you don't keep giving them leeway. You let them go do their thing. As a pastor, my job is not to make sure everybody here is living right. My job is to teach the word, preach the word, give you the word. My job is not to make sure you're here every week. I'm not going to. I'm not going to call you up and say, hey, why weren't you here? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say, where have you been or what you've been doing? No, we may call, you know, we may, if somebody has been faithful and they haven't showed up, we may reach out to them just out of love, because if there's something that we can help them with, I'm not saying that. But I mean, when people just don't want to do the word, we aren't going to chase them down and make them do it. That's why I said people will get off. We've had people get off this bus, praise the Lord, that were really connected. They gave to the church. They were. Yeah, they even told me, hey, if we go, you'll know when we go. Oh, I knew all right, but it wasn't because they told me, because they were cowardly. They ran out the door, never said anything. Right. Yeah, I knew because the Spirit told me they were going. Yep. I knew it months before they were going. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, because He's good like that. You see, when we get connected to something, it's important to stay connected. Amen. Praise the Lord. But see, this is what happens when people they think their thoughts that they're thinking are all theirs, and so they follow where those thoughts go, and sometimes those thoughts end in things that they don't want. And the reason is because they didn't renew their mind. They didn't transform themselves by renewing their mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to transform our thoughts to line up with the thoughts of the Word, because if they don't, they are not right. They aren't right. That's why we give spiritual principles all the time. We say, this is what God said. I didn't come up with this stuff. Listen, my life is proof that it works, but I didn't make it up. I didn't just come up and say, hey, I'm going to come up. And there's dumb people out there, uneducated people that will say, well, that was just written by men. It was written over and over and over again. Well, you know what? They've been digging up all kinds of early writings within 50 years of when all this stuff happened. And guess what? It's like 99% accurate. And the things that are inaccurate are just little typos that are obvious. Like you know, maybe instead of using and, they use the or something like that. But it has nothing to do with doctrine at all. Do you realize that about this scripture? They can trace. You can go back to the King James Version and say, hey, that was the 1611 version. That was the important one. That's the one we got to read, right? It doesn't matter, because as long as the translations match up to what was written thousands of years ago, well, praise the Lord. See, this is the way the Bible is, but people don't know that. Why? Because they listen to the news. They listen to what other idiots say, and they just take that as the word. Yeah, I say idiots because that's the truth. If somebody is talking out, if people are talking out of areas that they're not supposed to talk out of, then they're not people you need to be listening to. Listen, just because somebody says they're smart doesn't mean they're smart. Amen. Just because somebody has a degree in something means nothing for anything. It means they may know something about what they were taught in that area, praise the Lord, but the fruit of it will come out in seeing what they do. Hey, I've known of architects before. Well, they all go to college. They all have to get degrees. But some build better buildings than others. Why? Because some are more talented. Some give themselves more to it. Some of them are lame-os and they don't do it good at all. Amen? That's just the way that it is. Praise the Lord. But that's why it's, well, because we get all kinds of opinions out there. Listen, my opinion doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. Not unless it's based in the Word. Your opinion doesn't mean anything unless it's based in the Word. We have all kinds of people telling, we have people out there, this is what I love about this country. We got people out there that lie that lie to us. And we know that they lie to us, but then we believe what they say. Well, we know that people lie to us, but yet we believe what they say. It didn't ring a bell with anybody, huh? We you don't realize that we're being deceived. You hear people, oh, you can't trust that, you can't trust that, you can't trust that. And then you believe everything those same they say. What's wrong with people? See, the truth, there is truth. There is one truth, and the truth is the Lord. The truth is the Word of God, amen? It's what He wrote. And people say, well, man wrote that. No, man wrote it inspired by God. Hallelujah. How do we know this? Because when you look at the things that happen in here, you see that they actually work. Amen? I was a mental case. I could barely crawl out of bed sometimes. I couldn't function in the world. I certainly wasn't happy or full of joy. It wasn't no amount of counseling or pills or anything else that got me out of it. What was it? It was the Word of God being preached. It was me conforming my, not just being preached, but me conforming my life to what the Word says. Like my wife said, we were poor until we started tithing. And then we stopped being poor. It was a process of time, yes. But that stopped us from being poor. When we got faithful with it, when we got faithful with serving, praise the Lord. So like the Word says, how else does it work? People, see, the Bible says that there's one who scatters and yet increases more. And that's exactly what the Word, the kingdom of God works, is that you put out for God, and what happens is things happen in your life that change, and you don't even know why. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Does anyone realize that our fight is not against flesh and blood? So that person that really ticked you off today, listen, they could be a good Christian. They could be your pastor. Maybe they say something to you someday that just didn't sit well with you. You know, I come up to you and say, hey, you know, that looks stupid on you or something like that. And you get all mad and offended about it. Well, you could discount, yeah, and I doubt I would ever say that to anybody. But I'm going to tell you what. You would be foolish if you disconnected just because I said something that bothered you. Right. Yeah. Because if I'm preaching the Word of God, if I'm spending week after week after week preaching the Word of God, and this is where God connected you, notice I said that, and this is where God connected you, and you decide to break that because I said something stupid, that's your foolishness. Your life will go in train wreck. Why? Because God connects us for a reason. He gives us a local church to grow in and to become part of and to expand our life in. Amen? That's exactly what He's done. He's set us up good. But people, all the time, they will disconnect from what God sets up because of little bitty issues that don't mean anything. And a lot of times, it's just a thought taken the wrong way. Well, why did he say that to me? Or why did she say that to me? Or why did so-and-so do this? Doesn't matter. What did God say? Where did God say? God said to forgive him for that. God said to not think anything twice. God said to bless those who persecute you. Oh, my gosh. Listen, we are living in a time of the lily parade here. Glory to God. We got people that one thing that they don't want to hear, then they got, by God, they got to have a safe room to go to because I heard that and that offended me. I'm offended about what you said about it. I don't really care. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Get over yourself. You're offended by something, so what? Get over it. I've been offended by lots of things too, amen? But that my offense is never but what pushed me forward. My offense is never what lifted me higher. My offense was never what brought me out. My offense always kept me down. My offense always kept me hindered. Whatever I was mad at never helped me. Didn't even matter if I was right. You ever been mad at your spouse? Praise the Lord. You ever been mad at your spouse? If somebody been married in here, they've been mad at their spouse. Amen. I know that. How do I know that? Because I know what it's like to have a spouse. Praise the Lord. Everyone, I got a great spouse. She's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Am I perfect? No, see, she's not perfect either. Hallelujah. Sometimes one of us is going to do something the other one isn't going to like. Amen? We may or may not be justified, but I'm going to ask you this. If you want to have a happy marriage, are you going to have it by keep thinking about that thing that they made you mad with? No. If you're always ticked at your spouse because of one thing that they did, guess what? Your life is not going to be happy. You see, people can even apologize and they still hold the grudges. Oh, you know about holding grudges. My wife said that when she was, you know, when she was younger, she prided herself in her ability to hold a grudge. Oh, she'd hate you for stuff. She could, right? Because that's the way she was raised. But how good does that do for you? Doesn't do any good for you. It ain't going to help you at all. Because if you want to, and that's one of the things that my wife and I have figured out, and that's why we have such a good relationship, because we realize that if we both want a happy marriage continuing on, at some point we got to get over, and it's just about better to get over it quick than it is to keep it going for a long time. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who's being abusive or somebody who's continually doing something that, you know, sometimes things got to get corrected. And if it's something that's destroying the marriage, well, sometimes you got to let it go that way. You know, we've seen that before as well. But you know, the truth of the matter is if you're just going to constantly hold a grudge, then you're never going to have a good relationship. But you got to realize that sometimes people do things not according to what they necessarily wanted to do, but because of voices they were listening to, thoughts that they were listening to. I'm going to go back to this. We're going to see more about this. Amen. The thoughts that come into our head are not always good thoughts. This is why we can point at so many things in this society that people look to as thoughts. They think, well, I thought this, so this is what I am. I thought that I was female when I was male. Yeah, I will hammer on this stuff till the cows come home. Why? Because it's such a big thing right now. I ain't letting it go. Just because you think it doesn't make it so. And if you think that it does, then I want you to show me how. I want you to show me how. Show me how thinking just makes something materialize. Show me it. Show me how you can prove it. Well, it's just what I thought. Well, what if you change your thoughts? Do you know something? I'm 41 years old, right? 41 years old. When I was 21 years old, I thought totally different than I think now. What happened if I had changed all kinds of things? Now, I'm not saying I didn't think I was. I always thought I was a man. Praise the Lord. I always knew that. I was always pretty sure. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's easy to look at the equipment and figure it out. You know, it's not hard. But you think anything you want, but, you know, the equipment tells us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I never look at a tractor and say, hey, there's a sports car. You know what I'm saying? Right? Amen. You never look at a truck and say, hey, there's a bus. Hallelujah. You never look at a bus and say, there's an airplane. I'll tell you what, when we were taking off the runway this week, I'm glad it was an airplane, not a bus. Why? Because the bus, by the time it got to 150 miles an hour at the end of the runway, wouldn't have been so good. Amen. Because the airplane took us up, you know, because at the end of the runway, there was no more runway. You know what I'm saying? So you want to be flying in the right thing is what I'm saying. Because when you fly in the right thing, it works. It takes you where you need to go. But when you're flying in the wrong, conversely, I'm glad that halfway through our flight that our pilot didn't decide, hey, I think this airplane's going to be a bus now. You know what I'm saying? What happens if you're 30,000 feet in the air and all of a sudden the airplane's like, I'm going to be a bus. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have a real quick landing. Amen. That's exactly what I don't know. That's how it worked out in my mind. If maybe to you just saw me do this, but I saw an airplane turning into a bus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? See, things don't work right when they don't work the way they're supposed to. When you try to take things out of order. Amen. When you try to get things, when you try to use things for what they're not intended to be used for, it isn't going to work right. But this is what I'm talking about with thoughts. Just because we have a thought doesn't make it right. We have to balance that thought with the truth. At one time, even in the world, they taught us the truth. It's some of the truth. They taught us that, you know, sometimes just because things are, just because you think certain things doesn't make it always right. Explain that to a serial killer. Oh, I'm going to be serious right now. Because that's the kind of thing that we're getting into. Do you know people who are serial killers? You know, like people say, oh, I can't believe they did that. You know why you can't? Because you think normal. You see, normal people don't think like a serial killer thinks. I actually watched a testimony of a man who is a sociopath. And I believe I got this right. Any of you people in that field, if I'm wrong. But basically a sociopath, that's what he said he was. And what his thing was is he didn't have feeling of emotion towards things. And so he decided he was going to do something bad towards his father. And I'm just going to say for the sake of everybody in here, but he did it with a hammer. And he did horrible things, yeah. And of course, went to jail for it. But when he was in jail, he got saved. See, he had no feeling towards that. And of course, since then, his dad didn't die, and he turned out fine and everything. But the point that I'm trying to make is that man didn't think right. But see, there was a time where we can look at things and say, listen, they're not thinking right, and so we need to fix the way they're thinking. Or we need to try to help them to think right. Because listen, you can't just go around with a hammer doing what you want. You understand? Just because you don't feel. That's not acceptable. Not just because we have a society, because it's just not right. You understand? So, and this is all tied into that. And you think, well, nothing I do is that extreme. Well, yeah, it is. Because if you start thinking the wrong kind of thoughts and you allow those wrong kind of thoughts to come into your life and you follow those wrong kind of thoughts, you don't check them with the Word of God, if you don't renew your mind and transform and conform those thoughts to the Word says, then what happens is you start doing dumb things. You start doing bad things. It destroys your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're at verse 12, right? Okay. We're going to read on. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Praise the Lord. Take up the whole armor of God. This is going to tell us what the armor of God is. This isn't the same kind of armor that we think about with tanks got and stuff like that. It's not Kevlar and things like that. It's going to tell us what it is. Amen? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. What is truth? It's the Word of God. Amen? Yeah, it's what the Word of God teaches. That's truth. The words that are written herein, this is truth. When the Bible says that this is wrong, that means it's wrong. You don't change that. It doesn't change. God doesn't just all of a sudden say, listen, God isn't like humans. He doesn't just change on the drop of a dime. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. If God said it was wrong then, it means it was wrong now. It doesn't change. Amen? But see, just common sense thinking would tell you that. Amen? I got an idea. I've been told once that gasoline is not okay to drink. Right? What if I decide today, well, maybe it changed. Maybe gasoline is okay to drink today. Is it going to help me at all? No, it's going to make me sick. Why? Because gasoline, because things don't change like that. It's just not, you know, people say, well, society changed. Well, society changing isn't always a good thing. You understand, there was times in society where it was okay to just enslave people, right? Now, there's times in society where it was okay to use certain people any way that you wanted to. I'm going to be PG. It's not okay, amen? There was times in society where it was okay to torture you because you didn't want to believe what I believed. Amen? You understand, just because society says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. And if you think that it does, you're an idiot. I'm just going to tell you, right truth. If you think that just because society changes that makes it okay, you're just as dumb as the rest of them. Amen. And you need to be smacked. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I probably won't smack you. I might smack you from the pulpit, but not smack you physically. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is living right. Trying to live according to the Word of God. I see it in here, but I don't want to do it. But that's righteousness that protects you. Righteousness protects you. Okay, three people excited about that. Righteousness protects you. Jesus' righteousness, the righteousness, you weren't righteous, so Jesus died for you so you could gain righteousness. Now be receiving his righteousness, and you can live right because you've received Jesus, and he gives you the ability to. Now you can be protected. But what do people always do? They're running out into the battle, and they're dropping their breastplate of righteousness off because they're like, well, I want to live the way I want to live. I want to do what I want to do. This is what I think. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It all comes back to the same thing, the Word. The Word is what protects us. All of this is pointing to the Word. Oh, praise the Lord, my page turned. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all, everyone say all, the fiery darts of the wicked one. What do you think the fiery darts of the wicked one are? We're going to find that out. Amen. But we got one more verse to read. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're told this is our sword. Yeah. Yeah. Most Christians, as they picked it up, they couldn't even listen. I don't know where if somebody called out a certain book of the Bible, I don't necessarily know where every single book of the Bible is, but I know where stuff in here is. I don't know this so well that I know where every single little thing is and where I can find every single, but I know where stuff is.
Yeah.
Amen. There's many Christians that have no idea. They open this, they become no idea. Now, I'm not talking if you're a newer Christian, you know, and you're just learning, well, praise the Lord, you got some time, we're giving you some slack. But if you've been a Christian for 10 years, you can't pick up a Bible, or you said, I believe in God, I've been a Christian for 10 years, but you can't pick up a Bible and show it, you ain't no Christian.
Right.
If you can't show where something is, if you can't turn to something, if you don't know, you don't know your weapon. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got to know our weapon. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Moving right along. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. And we're not dropping it off there. We're not. I'm going to somewhere else too. I'm taking you there. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The only fight the Bible tells us we are to fight is the good fight of faith. What is that? It's keeping in line with the Word. Keeping it in line with the Word. What does the Word say? The Word of God says, fighting the good fight of faith. I'm gonna keep doing this even when it's hard because the Word says to. And I know that I'll get through, I'll get beyond. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. God wants to show us some things here. Now turn with me. I just didn't mean you to turn there. I should have told you that. But turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10:35. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 10:35. Or, I'm sorry, 10, 3 through 5. 35, you know, you put them close together, it makes 35. But 2 Corinthians 10:3. This will help you. So we're going back, because we were talking about the fiery darts of the wicked one, right? These are the things that come. We've been talking about thoughts. We've been talking about keeping these things in order, amen? We need to think right according to the Word. Look at what the Word says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Doesn't this sound kind of like our fight is not against flesh and blood? Didn't we just read that, Ephesians 6:12? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Though we walk around in the flesh, the things that oppose us, the things that come against us, the things that keep us down, the things that bind us. Listen, if something binds you, it could be something like your past coming up to rear its ugly head, something that you did back then and it keep coming up to try to bite you and cause you to be in condemnation. See, though, that's not the flesh that's doing that. That's the spiritual aspect of things. And we're going to see that more here. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not of the flesh. Our weapons are not literal weapons. We don't walk around with an actual sword, though some Christians have and it looks weird. Praise the Lord. But we don't walk around with actual shields. We don't actually walk around with you know, stuff like that to war against the flesh. Now, I'm not saying it's like wrong to carry a gun or something. I'm not saying any of that. By no means. But it's not saying that our fight is not against those things. Amen? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, what? Pulling down strongholds. This is very important. Strongholds or anything. What's a strong? It's anything that will bind something. It will hold you strong. Amen? Something you can't seem to get by. Anybody been in a position where they just can't seem to break it? They just can't seem to get past it? That's what a stronghold is. Something you're dealing with that you just can't seem to get beyond, that's a stronghold. Amen? And well, we know that because it goes down, it goes on to explain it. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down. Casting down is an action. That is something you are to do. You are to cast something down. It's like you are not supposed to take it. This is where people go wrong. This is why we got a whole bunch of people running around don't know who they are right now. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Thoughts that aren't checked will take you into places you don't want to go. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to cast it down. How does a man stay loyal to his wife? I don't cheat on my wife. Why don't I cheat on my wife? Because there's never opportunity, because there isn't places I could. Of course you could. She could, you know, any husband, wife could be unfaithful to each other. It's not hard to go out and figure out a way to do that, is it? But what keeps you from doing that? You cast down those thoughts. You don't think people have thoughts when they see somebody. Of course, everybody has thoughts. There's thoughts that come against everybody that will cause you to think, well, maybe I need to go in this direction. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, there's lots of things I don't have that I want. What keeps me from just going and taking them? I cast down the thought. Just because I want it doesn't mean I am entitled to it, right? Praise the Lord. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Doing what the Bible tells you to do and not doing what the Bible tells you not to do. When the Bible tells you not to sin in a certain area and you sin, then you are going to eat the fruit of that sin. That's all there is to it. Listen, that's the way that life is. That's the way that it works. You can't change that. If you go out and live like a moron because you don't want to do what's right, because you just want to do what you want to do, and then you the results come back and things aren't joyful, or you ruin your future because of it, that is not God's fault. He has told us what to do and what not to do. We are not told to do things. God did not tell us to tithe because he just wants us poor. It's stupidity to think that. But yet everybody thinks if I give this, that I'm going to be poor. Why do people go without? Because they don't tithe. They don't give. They don't have any idea what any of those things truly are. And I'm not talking about the fictitious thinking like some people out there, there's all kinds of ideas out there what it is. There's people that, you know, you can't tithe anywhere but your local church. You know that. Yeah, because the Bible says to bring the tithe to the storehouse. That's what the word says to do. We bring it to the place where we're fed. Amen? That's what we're told. You don't just, there's people out there, well, you can tithe anywhere. You can't tithe anywhere. You can't tithe to your friends or your relatives or to another church. Glory to God. Listen, if you're tithing to a church, you need to be going to that church. Or if you're going to a church, you need to be tithing to that church. Why does God set this up? Well, all those ministers you just talk about. No, we're trying to stink and help you. Again, we didn't have to come out and do this. We didn't have to. My life was working fine. Following God, doing what I was called to do. We don't do this so we can just expand. We're not trying to make some kind of name for ourselves out there or something like that. We're following the plan of God. See, it's so funny because people come in. They come into church distrusting you already. Yeah. They think that you're just saying things because, well, it's a good suggestion. No, it's not a good suggestion. If I'm not preaching out of the word, nothing I'm saying up here is a good suggestion. If I'm preaching out of the word, I'm helping you according to the word and will of God. It does not change. It is not subject to interpretation. It is not. Let's see, that's all these things that people say are so foolish. And see, this is the thing. This is why I love teaching this stuff to my people, because I'll teach you and you go out there and the next time you hear someone say something stupid like, oh, it's a subject to your interpretation. No, it's not subject to my interpretation. It says what it says. You would do nothing else. Nothing else in life do people put under such scrutiny like they do Christianity and the Word of God. Nothing else. You never pick up a recipe book and say, well, I want to interpret it this way, and so I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and I'm just going to blah, 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 put all this stuff in here. And no, you never do that. Why? Because it would be dumb to do that. The same thing is with the Word of God. It's not subject to interpretation. It's written in plain English. You can read it. I can read it. We can make sense of the same thing. When the Bible says do not sin, and you won't have, if you don't sin, if you keep yourself from sin, then you won't have the effects of sin, then guess what? If you do that, if you listen to the word, then you won't have the effects of sin. But if you don't listen to what I say and you go out there and you do the sin, then you are going to have the effects of the sin. I can't stop that. You can't stop that. 50,000 counselors can't stop that. You can have any church in town. They're not going to stop that. God himself cannot stop the effects that you get from the things that you do if you do things wrong. God himself can't. Jesus couldn't. Jesus, everybody said, like, Jesus, when he was here, he healed people, he touched people, he did all these things. When he went to his own hometown, they wouldn't receive him as Lord, and therefore he could do no mighty work. He couldn't heal people in his hometown because they looked at him as, oh, this is a carpenter. Praise the Lord. Isn't this just Pastor Jeff? Isn't this just Jeff up there? No, if that's what you believe, then you're never going to get it. If you, well, listen, it is just me up here, but I have the anointing, I carry the office, and that's why I stand here. And what's proven in that is over time, when you do things a certain way, and over time, there's fruit. Yeah. Listen, nobody goes to an orange tree and think they're going to get lemons, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the same sense, if you go to an orange tree and the fruit's all rotten, you're not going to eat off of it anymore. See, the things of the word work. God is not at fault when we don't work things right. Listen, people get offended. I'm going to deal with something right now. Because I know that there's people in here that have these thoughts. And how do I know? Because I've gone through it myself. I go through it myself. Listen, because the devil throws thoughts at us. I need y'all to listen real carefully here. I'm going to say something at some point that you're not going to like. But it's in the Word of God. It doesn't matter you don't like it. Get over yourself. You're not the end-all be-all. Listen, kids, your grandkids are great. You all have a bunch of wonderful kids in here. We love you all. You're not the end-all be-all. It's not all about you. Listen, everything people do in sin, it's all about them. If someone sins, it's because they're selfish. They're doing it for themselves. Yeah. Why? Why won't you tithe? Selfish. Why won't you give? Selfish. Why won't you do the Word of God? Because you're selfish. You want to do what you want to do. Why won't you live right? Because you're selfish. Because you want to do what you want to do. Praise the Lord. There's consequences for doing just what you want to do if it ain't right. Listen, that doesn't mean we can't ever do what we want to do, but we can't. Life is not a free-for-all. We're living in a country that is seeing the effects of life lived as a free-for-all. Listen, why do people get into riots and stuff like that? They're selfish. They're doing it because they want their things. Why do people do things? Why do we have all these social issues? Do you know it's like politically, anymore, any election is just about social issues, which is unreal. It's unheard of. Why is that? Because people are selfish. People are selfish. There would be no issues in that if people were just living right. If people lived according to the Word of God, there would be no debates about health care. There would be no debates about abortion. There would be no debates about the drug problem. There would be no debates about any of this stuff. It all comes back down to selfishness. Now listen, sometimes people go out in selfishness and they get themselves so wrapped up that they can't break away from it by themselves and they need help. I am not saying that. But to keep yourself out of it, you have to keep yourself in the Word of God. You have to cast down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is exalting itself against the knowledge of God? Because when the Bible says so, that's what we do. When it says not to do it, we take our hands off. Yeah. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's not hard. Praise the Lord. One of the things that I'm gonna pounce on again, because this is something that's popular in the church world, is that people love to, they've diminished the role of pastor in people's lives. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to say this because I'm a pastor. If you get offended, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry, but I'm going to say it anyways, under the boldness that the Lord has given me. If you don't realize how important your pastor is in your life, you don't realize what the Word says. The first thing that Jesus gave us, the first thing he gave us were the ministry offices. Why do I go 1,000 miles away, right, away from my family to go see a minister? It certainly wasn't warm in Pensacola this week, I'm going to tell you that. It was colder there than it was here. Ain't lying. It was bitter cold. We weren't there to be on the beach, even though we were right on the beach. Right on the beach. We didn't go to the beach maybe once. We walked out there for a few minutes, turned around, walked back in. See, I'm serious. That's the way it was. Why do we go 1,000 miles away? Because I realized the importance of the ministry offices in my life. When we have special guests in here, we'll have half the church, a third of the church show up. Why do we have that? Because all those rest of the two-thirds, mostly, don't realize how important the ministry gifts are. Jesus gave them to us to help us, to equip us, to make us go out there and be more effective. And yet people sit at home because they'd rather watch American Idol or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? People would rather go to that's why in church. You notice it's funny. I understand when there's vacations and stuff like that, I'm not saying that. But you know, it's funny that in the summertime, that all of a sudden, in the summertime, all of a sudden, the church attendance drops to a third of what it was a couple months before. Well, people ain't on vacation all summer. I know that. I know better than that. Why? Because, well, it's no use today. I don't want to go to church. I want to go to a barbecue. Thinking of yourself. Selfish. Praise the Lord. Why is the lowest month, generally speaking, in a church for offering, why is the lowest month generally December? Do you know that these are statistics that hold true across the whole body of Christ? Why is that? Because people are selfish. Because they want to stop. Why do people, when they, how about this? When you don't come to church, do you still bring your tithe? Oh, that's a big one. Praise the Lord. These are no things that later on I'm going to think, well, I wish I wouldn't have said that, but I said it anyways because it's the truth. Why? Because you're still responsible to be connected. When you don't go home, like, listen, we were gone a whole week. We still got to pay the bills there. We didn't, did you watch or did you use the house at all this week? Not at all. I don't even think the kids went there. Amen? Praise the Lord. We turned the heat way down and had it done because we were smart and did that, you know? We're away. But we still got to pay for those things. You understand? When you're connected to something, listen, I'm not, again, if you're wrapped up because you think that this or whatever, if you think that you can just go to any church and it doesn't matter, even if it's a family church, you're foolish. Yeah. You have no idea what the Word says. Yeah. And if you're mad at me right now for saying any of these things, shame on you, not shame on me, because I'm preaching out of the Word of God. All these things we preach because it helps people. It changes. Praise the Lord. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, I have this. I know what it's like. You're sitting here and you have this thought. It's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that thought's just getting out of hand and you just don't know what you're... You got to cast it down. How do you cast it down? Praise the Lord. We're going to see that. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is what we do. You're struggling with something. This is what you do. You have addictions. This is how you get past it. Praise the Lord. You aren't going to, God isn't just going to magically sprinkle pixie dust on you and just going to fly out of all that stuff. Now, sometimes it happens for some people, but some people, he needs you to work out of it. Why? Because it's because of something in you, not something in him. Amen? You have to cast it down. Sometimes you have to cast down thoughts 1,000 times a day because you know it's not right. You don't make it right because it's what you do or what you want to do. You cast it down because it ain't right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm helping you because this stuff that we teach right here today, this will help you in everything that you deal with, any struggle that you have. I cast that down in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to end with this. Matthew 18:18. Praise God. Hallelujah. This stuff will help you. This will help you live in a place that is free from bondage, that is free from the trials. Or that it at least gets you through the trials. Not free from trials, but freedom out of the trials. Amen? This is how we always get the victory. And I know the feeling. Sometimes you're wrapped up in the thoughts or whatever, and you're like, it's harder for me to get out of it. It's harder for me to do it. No, it's harder for you to live in the consequences of what happens. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll give you a great example. I met the boys' mom. The boys here, I met their mom. Their mom at while I was out partying. We got together, and we just got together. Within a month, she was pregnant for him. Praise the Lord. Now, Mark is a blessing to me. Love him with all my heart. I'm not saying anything against that, but I'm trying to illustrate something. We got together out of God's plan. We didn't seek, of course, we weren't seeking the Lord. We were out partying, doing stupid things. And then we decided to, so now we tried to build a family on this. And of course, it crashes and burns. Why does it crash and burn? Because one person wanted to go one way, another person wanted to go another way, and it just wasn't going to work. What happens? This is why we have to be intelligent about what we do with other people. So years down the road, they're 10 years old. I'm not together with his mom anymore. But guess who I got to deal with all the time? Yeah. She didn't want to deal with me anymore, and I wanted to deal with her at this point. So I'm not just calling her out on the table. I'm just saying, I'm explaining to you how things happen. See, and see, what a lot of people do is their answer is, well, just throw the baby away. Because if you're stupid, you're going to throw the baby away, so that makes you the ultimate in selfishness. And somehow we legalize this, right? It's okay to kill a baby. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because you know that most abortions are done for that. I'm not trying to be political. I'm telling you right from the heart of God that those people are going to have to answer. Now, if you've had an abortion, glory to God, God can help you, and he'll get you beyond that, and you don't have to be condemned about that. If you repented, just don't do it again, and then start talking about it, praise the Lord. But you know, that's just one of the many areas I'm talking about, because people don't act right, and so every action that follows is trying to cover it up, but they can't. You can't cover it up when you don't do things right. You got to do things right. You got to go after things right. You know, I think about this because it was such a huge thing in my life. Every Christmas, when these kids were upset because they had to be torn from one family to go to another family. Every birthday, when they had to be torn from one family to go to another family. Every time when there was a family get-together or anything, all this stuff throughout their whole life affected all of them. See one sin and see how it affects a whole line of people. For years, didn't it? Until just recently in times, you know, that's the way that it works. Amen? Well, it's the truth. See, God wants to save us from all that. That's why he says don't be having sex before you're married. Because if you're not married, then you have no place to be doing that. That's right. People say, well, I'm not ready to be married. Then you certainly aren't ready to be having sex. Glory to God. If you're not ready to be married, then you are not ready to be doing any of those other things. Amen? I say this for the sake of our kids, dear Jesus, because listen, these kids, they have everything against them. I know as young men that you guys have every opportunity for things to come against you and draw you into those things. Listen, that's one of glory. Just preaching where we're at, amen? Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is both in your speech and in your action. What you bind, you can loose things by the way, by your actions. You can loose hell in your life because of what you do, or you can bind it because of what you do. You can bind it or you can loose it by what you say. Because you speak to those things. You say those things. You know what? I'm going to cast those imaginations out. I'm going to cast those thoughts out. Why am I going to live in this lifestyle? Not according to the word of God. It's wrong and I'm not going to do it. I don't care what I feel like on the inside. You will be more blessed. You will find more joy on the other side. There is never joy in covering up sin. And that's what the world will have us to think. That if you cover up the sin, you're going to get beyond it. If you're dealing with thoughts of depression, what do? You cast them down. You say, no, I'm alive in Christ. He has died to give me abundant life, and that's what I'm going to live. Thoughts of depression have no right to stay here. I have the mind of Christ. You have no right. You're trespassing. And you understand, you pull out what you got, amen? You cast down those things. I do not receive that in Jesus' name. There'll be times I'll be standing in the chair before service, and I will say, I do not receive that in Jesus' name, because a thought will come to me. Praise the Lord. There'll be thoughts. Listen, it's not. Listen, you are not your thoughts. You understand? But you can become what your thoughts are if you don't keep them in check. Amen? The enemy's fight is always in our mind. It's not, first and foremost, his fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's in spiritual places. It's against our mind. It begins up there. And when you allow that to go, run wild, then you're going to have where that takes you. But if you stop it, you can be victorious every single time. There's no enemy you can't defeat. There's nothing you can't rise above. Amen? Father, we praise you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your direction. Lord, we know that these things are good. We know that the word is good, God, and that you're helping us, and that we hear this word preached boldly. Lord, we know that it will correct those things. It will change those things so that we can live more effectively, because that's what you have for us. Lord, I consecrate myself as always to you. God, if I'm not doing things according to the way that you want to, then I'll correct them. Show me, lead me, guide me. Show me those things that I'm not doing. But Father, I thank you that you give me the opportunity to preach the truth, because it's the truth that set me free. And Lord, I want to see many people set free. So Father, we praise you for it. We glorify you for it. We don't make excuses for what we do, Lord, but we submit those things. We cast down those arguments, and we bring those things in subjection to obedience of your word, Lord. What you say, this is how we rise above. Praise the Lord. And I'm just drawn up in my spirit to tell you again, if you deal with depression, if you deal with sadness, it's all in the thought realm. It's the enemy throwing thoughts at you that aren't true. Know who you are in Christ, and if you don't know, come to me and I will tell you. I will show you who you are in Christ. God has lifted you up. He's seated you in heavenly places. He has put you next to Jesus on his throne. That's where you sit. Actually, you are sitting on Jesus' throne because you're his body. So you're even better than that. So every time you have a thought of depression, it can't stay. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. I don't receive that thought in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, if you practice it one way, you'll be able to practice it better the other way. That's why we encourage people to amen and praise the Lord. Why? Because as they do that, they receive those things. See, that's how you receive, and that's how you repel with your words or what you say. Father, we praise you. We worship you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We like to give this opportunity every week, because the first and foremost thing and anything is to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, if you have not done this, there's a simple litmus test. You can, if you ask yourself, if I were to die today, do I know that I go to heaven? If your answer is no, if it's anything other than a resounding yes, then you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He died first and foremost to save you, but then he also died to give you a good life, an abundant life, and that's a life that we teach here, amen? So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, it's real simple. We're not going to call you up front. We're not going to call you out. All we're going to have you do is simply lift your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down, and then we will all pray a prayer together. Right there in your seat, you'll pray a prayer. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus before and you'd like to today, it's real easy to go ahead and lift your hand real quick, and we'll have you put it right back down. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to give one more opportunity here. Maybe you have received Jesus before, but you've walked away from him. And I don't mean that you've made a few mistakes, but I mean you've walked completely away from him. If that's you and you'd like to come back, listen, God is not so callous that he will keep you out. He wants to draw you back in because he wants you blessed and he wants you help. So if that's you, if you've walked away from the Lord and you want to come back now, go ahead and slip your hand up real quick. Thank you, Lord, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We had a couple hands. Now listen, maybe you were too shy to lift your hands. Maybe you didn't want me to see. Or maybe you were shy because you didn't want the person in the seat next to you to know. Maybe you felt they would feel you lift your hand if that was you for either one. It's not the lifting of your hands that saves you. It's not the lifting of your hands that gets you back on track. It's what you believe in your heart and what you're willing to confess with your mouth. So we're going to pray a prayer together because we did have some hands. This prayer will guide you. If you're unsaved or if you've walked away and you want to come back, it's the same. This will guide you into that. So if that's you, just mean it out of your heart. Speak it out of your mouth and it'll be so. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that Jesus died so that I could be saved. I thank you, Lord, you raised him again so I could be seated right next to you. I love you. I'll do what you ask me to do. The best that I can, I follow you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.